But be out there at 6:30. We're leaving for dinner at 6:30. La-di-da, I wander out at 6:40.
I saw a crowd, you know, I've been counting heads all week. And
they all get in the cars and drive away. I get out there, there is not a soul out there.
Where is everybody?
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better.
Well, welcome to a little better Malawi edition. You.
Woo! Let's go.
And we are in Malawi. And yes, this is a bonus podcast. You get a little something extra because for some reason, Noah, Michelle, and Brad are in Malawi. What is up with that? Now, often we start our podcast with a sermon in 60, but Michelle, why don't you give why we're here in 60?
Yeah, I would love to. So one of our partners through our Beyond Ministry, we're all about strengthening families, ending poverty, seeking justice. That's the things that as a church we want to do when we go beyond our walls. One of our partners is called the Global Lift Collective, and the Global Lift Collective works in Malawi and in Central America, and their goal is to just make the local church stronger. Mm-hmm. We at Northridge, we have a campusing model. We're all about local churches. We got a local church at Brighton, right? We got a local church on the online campus. We got Webster. We have Rochester. And here in Malawi, there are lots of churches, but those churches, pastors don't always ever, like a lot of them have never gone to school to study the Bible or even gotten past elementary school. A lot of them don't really have the skills in the toolbox to be able to reach their own communities. The Global Lift Collective is stepping up to help the local church to end hunger and to help to make the local community just lift them up. So when we lift the local church, we lift the community too. And so that's what the Global Lift Collective is all about. And you guys took the ticket. You decided to come along and to see what was going on with the Global Lift Collective. I mean, we've been partnering as a church for a few years now, and so it's just great to have all of us being able to see it firsthand and to have some of our pastoral staff and leadership staff and myself be able to come here and see what's going on the ground live.
Yeah, it's incredible. And listen, Michelle, Noah and I don't want you to be left out. So.
Oh, guys! Hey! Guys, you've been wearing this bracelet without me for days. If this got lost in the bottom of Brad's backpack,
there's even a way to tighten it up. Yeah, I'm going to figure that out.
Here it is.
So anyway, so now this is Team Malawi coming to you live. To me, I think it is a little confusing. I mean, it's getting simpler. It's getting better to come here and see what's happening, to actually meet churches. Mm-hmm. Like we've come to Malawi, and then, I mean, I didn't know what was up, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Noah and I were on for the ride, and the ride was incredible. We would leave our hotel and travel for hours, you know, at first on regular roads and then on dirt roads and get to remote areas. But we got to see the church and just hear amazing stories. I don't know where you want to go with this, but what's blowing you away about this trip?
My heart, and I think a lot of my friends' heart, is for the local church. And what I've loved the most is watching local pastors get to see their churches grow, get to see people come more like Christ, get to see people fed who they had people in their congregation starving who didn't have food. They didn't have enough to eat. Mm-hmm. Or they had people in their congregations who were walking really, really far for water. And now they're able to have food and have water. And not from the Westerner coming to bring these resources, but by using some of the local resources that they already have. And by building from within their church, by using their church to train people how to make enough food for themselves, to use their church to train illiteracy programs. And their churches have exploded. I mean, the one I was in went from 7 people on a Sunday morning to 75 people. And that just makes me shout for joy. Like, I'm like, let's go. You know, let's take the Great Commission to Africa.
And we had to ask the translator a few times, are we getting the numbers right?
Is that 7 to 75? I was like, blown away.
Yeah, everyone in this
just gets me going. It like fires me up to see people and this like just people excited to read their Bible. You know, they've never read their Bible and they're able to read their Bible today, you know, and they're just ferociously reading, serving one another, training other people to grow healthier products and produce. And it's just amazing. But my favorite part by far is watching a local church be the light to their dark community and then watching their community respond in just like amazing responses. And that might be their tithes are up, their congregations are up, and the pastors are just so blessed by it. And so I've just loved watching the eternal heart change more than the physical even.
Oh yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Now let's just let people know, this is your am I right, fourth trip to Africa?
You're wrong. It's my third trip to Africa.
No, that's your fourth. You went once to Chad.
Yeah.
And this is your third to Malawi or no? Am I wrong about it? I'm wrong. Sorry.
Brad is correct with his number counting. Yes.
Once to Chad.
Once to Chad. And then I've been three times to Malawi.
Four times to Africa.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Four times. So she's the pro. Yeah. But is there something on this trip that just made number four super special?
Yeah. So the thing about the Global Lift Collective is that, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, he saw when people were hurting, he saw and could care about the fact that people didn't have enough food or that they were working hard, but that they weren't getting enough harvest. Maybe there wasn't enough rain or the soil wasn't good. And so you work hard all year and you run out of food and then you're just waiting for the harvest. And like, God is the God of the harvest. And when we came to Malawi in the past, I don't know if I just didn't understand. This time we're here and it is harvest time. And so as we were visiting communities, they were showing off the bounty of what God had provided. And one of the programs that they do, it's a little bit gross. Like, I know Noah had to go and visit, like his first day was like manure making, you know, and he's like
what does, more exciting than
like, so what does this have to do with the church? You know, and it's like, well, the fact is the church is made up of people, and those people were working really hard to work the land. And in Malawi, 80% of people in Malawi are farmers. They grow food and they eat that food. And if they have extra, they sell it to make enough money to pay for other things. And if they don't have extra, they don't have any extra money. So that's, I mean, just a really basic level. That's how Malawi is for most people. A lot of people live in really rural areas. And so to have an opportunity to see this, they call it miracle manure. And it's like,
fertilizer.
Yeah.
It's like the loaves and the fish. They take a little bit of fertilizer and they turn it into a huge amount.
And so like these people had animals that they were raising, pigs and chickens and you know, cows, and they were raising those. And then they were taking the manure and they were just getting rid of it because they thought that that wasn't worth anything. They're taking the ash from their fire and they were getting rid of it because they thought that that was trash. Mm-hmm. And then they were getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. And those are actually the things that they used to re-enrich their soil, and now they're getting a bigger yield. Mm-hmm. And so like one of the most amazing parts to me was just like the abundance of resource that we're not seeing that's around us. So like those ashes, that manure, like that gross stuff is what made their soil better. And so we went and saw a farm that, you know, they were growing corn. That's a big thing. Everybody eats corn every single meal. It's like bread. And so they were growing corn and they were running out of food. And then the next year after using the miracle manure, they were having twice as much. And like the spiritual yield from your church teaching you how to care for your family, and men feeling like they're providing for their family, and women feeling like they're able to provide, you know, for their children, and you know, like this whole thing, and that men and women were doing this work together and being trained on it together is like, it's enriching marriages, families, and whole church congregations all at the same time. It's pretty,
it is so cool.
Brad, tell us about your first day. So Brad's been, this is his favorite story. Tell us about day one for you.
Yeah, day one was overwhelming. So I didn't know what was going on in terms of, well, how long is it going to take to get to anywhere or whatever. And I was just so surprised, well, how far off-road we were going. And there was nothing. I mean, we were driving through fields. this country is beautiful. Yeah. It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're at the beginning of the dry season, which means we're getting blue skies every day, and there's mountains on the horizon, and just the there's a, still some green because it's just getting started. It's just so, but I'm like, where are we going? Are we there yet? And yeah, we kept going and going and going through these roads.
No, we're not.
We're not there yet. But then we get to this place, and then we see all of a sudden on the, you know, we see a couple of buildings, we get up there, and then there's just all these women, and we can hear them singing. Mm-hmm. And it was just this overwhelming thing. And Joe from World Relief was next to me, and she says, "That's not for us, is it?"
Yeah.
You know, and Jeff, you know, from Global Lift Collective said, "It is." Yeah. And they just come, and it's just overwhelming. The whole village is there, and they're singing. And, you know, we rode in, you know, these SUVs that could get over the ruts and everything.
Oh, yeah. And
we're looking out the window, and the school is just emptying out all these kids. They're running alongside, and it's just like, I don't, you know, we're not the people you think we are. You know, it was just like we're just so overwhelmed with the grace and the love and the welcome. We step out into this and circle up in this village and hear the stories. But hear the stories of how the church leaders, you know, were training, you know, people to work together and to solve these problems in their community. Mm-hmm. And there was many of those, and then we went to a couple of houses, and in both cases the women were there, and we're walking with these people. They're dancing. There's one man in the group. Yeah. He's dancing like crazy. He's beatboxing. Yeah. I mean, it was, he was rejoicing. And they get to this house, and this woman, she's just smiling from ear to ear, and through the translator, she says, "Welcome to my home." You know, it's like, my home. I have a home. And she showed me. And what happened there was the church had organized people into these savings groups, you know, that would collect money, you know, and this is not our money. This is their money. They are not saying, "Give us fish." Mm-hmm. They're saying, "Teach us how to fish. We can do it ourselves. Just tell us how." And they would gather, and every kwacha, you know, that went into that box, you know, came from them. Mm-hmm. And together, you know, they saved and they set goals. And this woman was able to have her own home.
Yeah.
And her husband is beaming. He's so proud. And she's like, "Let me show you my pigs and my goats and the rest." And the women, you know, were around her. And one person said, "Have you seen other people join your church, you know, as a result of this?"
Yeah.
And she just lights up, and she reaches across the crowd, grabs this other woman, pulls her forward. She says, "This woman was the village chief's wife, and they did not go to church, but I brought her to this group. And then she came to church, and she's brought her husband to the church."
Really,
yeah. So, and then there was another one. I feel like I got to land this thing, but there was just so many things. But another woman, I mean, it was just, she was there beaming and just, and she's, you know, and we asked, you know, and she would share with us her vision. She says, I'm going to build a bigger house. I'm going to do this. Like, "Well, what was your vision before?" I said, "I had no vision." She said, "I used to be nobody, and now I'm somebody." And then her husband was next to her, and her husband said, "My friends all say, 'Where are you? You used to drink with us, you know, and he's given up drinking, and now he is proud of what his family is building and accomplishing. He's showing us his harvest."
He is working day and night.
He's working
on behalf of his family, alongside of his family.
And this is all through the church. Mm-hmm. And people are seeing the church transform people's lives, and they're joining the church and sharing that, you know, with others.
One of the things just to jump off of that, that's really, really neat that happens through the Global Lift Collective is that churches from one area will start to get together. So like the pastors of a Pentecostal church, an Assemblies of God church, and a Baptist church, and a Roman Catholic church will all get together. And sometimes that's for Bible training. Mm-hmm. And then other times that's just to get to know one another. And they'll go through a training together about like, how does God want us to run our churches, and what does it look like for us to work together and to care for one another and to disciple people? Mm-hmm. How did Jesus live? It's almost like how do we become more like Jesus? And they'll go through that training together. And you know, when you get in a community group with people, when you're walking alongside one another and growing, you bond. Mm-hmm. And so these pastors bond together, and then they bring their congregations together, and they want to teach the Bible to other people. And so out of a program that was intended to bring pastors together and help them to thrive and then help them to serve the hungry and things in their community and help them to lift themselves out of poverty, they actually started these evangelistic campaigns. They said, mm-hmm. Jesus is good. We got to tell everyone. Mm-hmm. But instead of doing it alone, they did them together. Mm-hmm. And so in Malawi, they saw these evangelistic campaigns. 1,800 people came to Christ for the first time, gave their lives to Christ. And then they kind of said, well, come and sign up with any one of us. You could go to this one, this one, or this one. And I mean, that I know that sounds so crazy, but when you don't have as great of access to the Bible, mm-hmm. you have this basic guttural understanding of who God is, mm-hmm. and that He is good, and that you're following Him, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and He rose again. Mm-hmm. And some of those nuances that get us tripped up, that mm-hmm. cause disunity amongst us, yes. they might not even have access to. Mm-hmm. And so they're able to draw together in this really beautiful way. It's not easy here either. There's other things that can cause disunity, right? There's always something that can pull us apart, but Jesus was the answer to pulling them together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I'm going to ask you, I think what you are hoping that what you have seen here impacts Rochester, New York. Am I right?
Uh-huh, totally.
So tell me what it is you hope is exported from Malawi.
Mm-hmm. A couple things I've been inspired by is the unity of the church and them coming together to serve and build homes for one another, put orphans into care or widows in their care of their church. I mean, imagine our church building a home for someone that's in our congregation. I mean, imagine that level of sacrificial generosity, like community building. A community group gets together and builds a house for someone mm-hmm. in their group. Like yeah. that is radical. That's exciting. That's fun. Right. That's awesome. You know? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I feel like I should export back home is the abundant scarcity mindset. And a lot of times I'm tempted to say, oh, we don't have enough, or we can't pull that off. And I just want to rebuke that, you know? I mean, the devil is a liar, you know, you have what we need because God says we have enough and not because, you know, you say you don't have enough, you know? Right. And so often I'm tempted to think, well, maybe if we had a couple extra, or if we could, you know, if I had more in the bank I could help with, or if I just got a little more then I might be able to give to, or if I might be able to, you know, support this person or help them out. But I feel like that is just the wrong way to think about it. God has given us exactly what we need to accomplish what He's called us to do. And so if you don't, you know, I mean, man, God can use the resources you have that I have that are untapped and that we might think are just ashes or manure that we throw away to bless so many people. And we just miss it because we live in this deficit mindset of I don't have enough. When will my 401k get to enough? You know, it's just like
so that I can feel safety and security that I'll be provided for. Oh. And it's like God promises to provide for all of us. Right. He provides for the lilies of the field and the birds. And I mean, he provides for everyone. And He provides for these people here in Malawi. And they know that and they trust Him in that, even though the provision looks a whole lot different. I mean, it does look a whole lot different mm-hmm. than what we're used to at home, but they are trusting in God that maybe it's next year, you know, but God's going to give me a good harvest and then I'm going to be able to do these things that He has, you know, and ordained for me to do. Mm-hmm. And in that surplus, there is this really neat generosity that is that you is shown. Mm-hmm. So we heard story after story of, you know, when this miracle fertilizer or beekeeping or whatever the you know, technical training was that allowed people to have some increased skill in their trade, those things help people to be able to have enough to provide. And the second they had enough, it was, how can we build a house for our pastor? How can we put a roof on our church? How can we
take care of the elderly?
Take care of the... We met a woman who was, she was a widow herself, and she was taking care of 10 orphans. And they were all sleeping together. 10, was it might have been more than that. And they were all sleeping together in a house with her animals. And so the church was working, and as soon as they had enough, they went together to build her a house so that they wouldn't have to sleep with the animals anymore and they would have their own space. So it's like just a cool picture. Like, you have a widow caring for orphans and a church caring for the widows caring for orphans. And like, it kind of starts to remove the people who need and the people who don't. It's just, it's us, and we're in this together against it, and God's on our side. Yeah. It's just a gorgeous picture of, you know, how we're living.
Yeah, I love that. I don't know if these microphones are picking up the Malawian birds, you know, that have joined us for the podcast. But
Guests, extra special guests.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you're talking about like that, you know, I don't think that it's more of a mindset, you know, like God, in the beginning, God created, you know, like we were called to create. And so often we're tempted to consume, you know, like what comes to me is mine. I assume that this money that I earned is mine. And what I didn't think about was maybe God wanted to use this to bless someone else, to bless another family, to bless, you know, another congregation. And I just feel like, man, we so easily slip into a consumeristic mindset to fall back on what we want or what we desire or what we think we need. And rather than asking, man, God, what could I create with these resources at my disposal? You might have things you're throwing away that you could create something beautiful for the kingdom of God that He's calling you to use, and you think that you just have a bunch of trash. And
it's manure we're blind. And ashes.
It's, yeah, manure.
Yeah, and
to
but,
me.
But even manure and ashes is something beautiful here. And it's like, what are we getting rid of that we could be using?
Creating.
So good.
And for me, the challenge to me, for me, the export is, I think as leaders, here's where I think I'm failing down. I've seen leaders here in Malawi train others to train others with confidence in the training, you know, get the Bible training or the farming training or the beekeeping, but they train and train others with confidence that they can do it and this will make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is my job to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry.
It is your job.
Yeah. It is. But I lack the faith, right? It's like, oh, that's too big an ask, or oh, I'm not sure they can do it, and oh, what if I step away? Yeah. No,
yeah,
no, I need to unleash the church and say, these are people who don't believe in themselves, but God believes them, and I believe in them, and it is my job to train them. And there's so many others in the church who can train people to do the work of the ministry, and they're going to do it so much better than us. They're going to take it places we could never take it.
Amen.
And but that's happening in Malawi. I need to get on board.
Yes.
They're listening to God's word, putting it into practice. I need to do the same in that way.
Oh, just so true. Like, this, the way that we listen to God, and sometimes that's through silence. I mean, we talked about on the podcast different kinds of, like, practices, and, like, when you don't have a cell phone or don't have access to Wi-Fi and don't have all of these things, like, you do have access to God in an unlimited way. And like, that can grow your resilience. It can grow your dependence on Him when you're not just constantly distracted by other things and pulled in so many directions. And there's a lot of things that the Church of Malawi has that we can learn from. And I'm just so grateful to be able to go with you guys. And you know, the Global Lift Collective is something that we are all a part of. By nature, being a part of our church, that is something that our church has stepped into. You know, our leadership is on board and excited about the fact that we are part of the Global Lift Collective, that we get to be, you know, in relationship with these churches in Malawi. And and part of the Global Lift Collective is that we are working on collaborating. So in a similar way that there's these churches churches in Malawi that are collaborating together to help their communities. There's a group of U.S. churches and then nonprofit, Christian nonprofit organizations that are collaborating to try to just increase the scale, to try to increase the strategic impact of working through local churches. So instead of working, you know, at one, we're saying in the next year, we're touching 4,000. So my, you know, my thing takeaway here would be to keep praying for those 4,000 churches, to keep praying that God would use the fertilizer and that God would use the beekeeping, the literacy programs, that God would use these Bible studies, that God would use these Bible trainings and all of the different things that are happening to bring people to Him, to grow their faith, to be provided for, that they would just flourish. I want people to be, the people of God should be like full of joy and smiling and not hungry, right? And so like, how can we be a part of that? Well, we already are. We are the Global Lift Collective. You are, Noah is, I am, you are. Our church has been a part of this for a few years now, and we're going to continue to be. So be praying for those 4,000 churches and for the pastors that are here and the church leaders and the widows who are caring for orphans. I mean, there is a lot that God is doing in Rochester. There's a lot that's happened in our church. And for all of those baptisms, there's baptisms here too. And so I guess I just hope everybody is encouraged that you know, Africa sounds so very far away. And it's like, where's Malawi? You know, what is that? Is that are you saying Maui? Is that in Hawaii? Like, I got that question a couple times.
No, it's not.
It's not Hawaii. It's not. But it's not a forgotten place. God has been here a long time, and He's been here working and growing churches, and He's going to continue to do that. We have a lot to learn from them. And so it's just been a great trip, and we're excited to get back home and to put into practice some of the things that we learned while we were here.
Yeah. Listen, what a blast to be here with you guys. Just, I had told you, Michelle, this is a lifetime high. It's one of just a handful of experiences I will never forget. Heed Michelle's advice, be praying for the Malawi churches because they are praying for us.
They are.
We've been asking them to. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, it's been great to spend a little extra time with you. Hope you have enjoyed this little visit to Malawi. And please keep coming back as we together try to get a little better.